today on It's Time.
By the way, friends, when the anointing of God's in your life, you'll be praised by some and hated by many. It's just the way it works.
I hear the calling, it's time. It's time. It's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time for these wounds to heal. Over the mountains and over the valleys, I hear the calling.
We're in Genesis chapter 49. The law is a cruel taskmaster. The law was never meant to justify you and me. It was meant to show us how desperately we needed a Savior. And if you try to live by the Ten Commandments, you'll only frustrate yourself, because where you err in one, you err in all. And that's what the Bible says. So we cannot justify ourselves ever by the Ten Commandments. We had to have somebody that could live the Ten Commandments. And then, because they live in the Ten Commandments, they could impart that righteousness to me. Where Paul says, it's like we put on a coat. We wrap his righteousness around us. And that's what makes us righteous. No good thing dwells in the flesh. Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. It isn't something I generate in myself. I have a supernatural Holy Spirit generator. So do you, if you're born again, that generates the righteousness you need to be right before God so you can make your petition be made known to him. It's not something we do in ourselves. Oh, man, if we could be good on ourselves. See, and this is where I become so troubled when I listen to the cults, and there's so many of them that believe they are made righteous by what they personally do. They came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, what must we do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, believe that the Father has sent me. Isn't that weird? He didn't say, get out, go door to door, don't eat pork, worship on Saturday. He said, believe that the Father has sent me. What we must do is that we find our righteousness in him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus, when he said that, his commandments are not the Ten Commandments. Jesus' commandments were these. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And Jesus said, the second is likened unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. For upon these two, he said, hang all the law and the prophets. Love God, love your fellow man. You're cloaked in his righteousness. Friends, remember where your source of holiness comes from. Because if you forget that, you will become prey to the devil. You will become prey to the cults. You will become prey to anything that's out there that says, hey, this is what you must do. Start jumping through the hoops. Well, here you find Simeon and Levi are brothers. And as it says here, they're cruel. Now again, the law is cruel. Friends, there's no righteousness. All it shows me is how bad I am. Because even if we're not practicing those things, Jesus said, if you thought it in your heart, you've done it. So we got another problem, don't we? We not only have the action thing, but we have the source of the action, our thoughts. Have you ever noticed how we act upon our thoughts? Oh, yeah. Kind of weird, ain't it? Why did you do that? I don't know. No, I mean, we thought it through. We do that. Well, here he says, cursed be they are for their anger. They're fierce, for it is cruel. And it says, I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. And by the way, Levi never received any allotment of land in the promised land when they finally went into the promised land. But they were scattered throughout Israel to represent God to the people and the people to God. It's exactly what the Bible says. Then he comes to Judah. Now, we know who Judah is. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. We know that it was through his tribe that the Messiah came. Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. This is true because of Messiah. Your hand shall be on their neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down. He lies down as a lion who shall rouse him. He says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. And by the way, through Jesus Christ, the scepter never has. Nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And to him shall the obedience of the people. Binding of his donkeys to the vine, his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He will wash his garments in wine, his clothes in the blood of the grapes. It's interesting that Jesus held up a cup at the Last Supper and he said, this is my blood which was shed for you. It's Jesus' blood that in fact did wash us white. And it says, his eyes are darker than wine, his teeth are whiter than milk. Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. Judah was far, though, from a good guy. We find all kinds of things that Judah did that were really bad. Judah was instrumental in trying to make profit and selling Joseph into slavery. There was a lot of things that Judah did that weren't good. One of the things, though, that was really interesting is when they didn't know who Joseph was, and they wanted Joseph wanted Benjamin, his real brother, to stay with him while the other brothers went back. He said, "No, don't take Benjamin because it'll kill our dad. Take me instead." This was the first time you see a change of heart in Judah, that he actually offered himself as a sacrifice. But you know what, friends? That's what Jesus did. Zebulun, verse 13, shall dwell by the heaven of this, by the haven of the sea, and he shall become haven for ships, as his border shall adjoin Sidon. And that's where actually he said in the northern part there. Issachar, a strong donkey, lying down between two burdens. And by the way, kind of speaks that he's going to be known, but he's going to be lazy, lying down. He saw that the rest was good. The land was very pleasant. He bowed his shoulder to bear a burden and became a band of slaves. They were a very large tribe. And because of that and where they were located, we find that there was a lot of slavery going on and people taking them for slaves. Dan, which by the way means a judge, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way. Well, man, how would you like to have your dad come? You come in, okay, dad, bless me. And dad looks at you and said, you know, you're a snake. You know, I mean, you think about this for a minute. Gee, dad, couldn't you say something cool about me? No, because he knew what was going on. It is interesting that the tribe of Dan formally introduced idolatry into Israel. Now, Solomon made it popular later on, but Dan is where they set up the golden calf. There was one in Dan and one in Bethel and the tribe of Dan. Interesting, in the 144,000 Jews, the 12 tribes of Israel that we find in Revelation chapter 7, Dan is not there. It's missing. He's missing. Now, evidently, in the redemption of God, when we get into the tribes that are in the millennial, or excuse me, in the final picture, Dan is mentioned. But here in this particular case, it says Dan is a serpent, by the way, a viper in the path that bites the horse's heels, so the rider shall fall backwards. I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. Now Gad A troop shall trample upon him, but he will triumph at last. Bread from Asher shall be rich and yield many royal dainties. Naphtali is a deer let loose. He gives goodly words. Then he comes to Joseph. Now, Joseph is the one, again, because of his faithfulness to God, he saved not only Israel, his dad, his brothers, Egypt, and the rest of the world through this drought. But Joseph is such a Christ type in the Bible. And Joseph is a fruitful bough by the well. His branches run over the wall. Archers have bitterly grieved him and shot at him and hated him. By the way, friends, when the anointing of God's in your life, you'll be praised by some and hated by many. It's just the way it works. Because they don't see God in your life. They see you and they're jealous of what God does in your life. I can do what they do without seeing the God that's behind you that motivates you to do what you do for him. In other words, you as a Christian cannot be replicated. God made you unique for his kingdom. He singled you out. He empowered you. And the reason he empowered you was for a specific purpose. People will look at you, try to copy you, try to disdain you, do all these different things because they don't see the God that is behind you, that's driving you to do what you do. And that's such an important part of understanding the God that we serve. God takes an ordinary person like you and me and makes them extraordinary by supercharging with that generator that I spoke of earlier that generates his Holy Spirit in us to do extraordinary things for the kingdom of heaven. You know, I was driving down Belt Highway on the Big Island. And I was listening to CSN, and I was listening to a couple of the praise songs that we have on Saturday night. Actually, it was Saturday afternoon there, and I just began to cry. Because I thought, God, through everything that we've all been through, I've been through. And I hear that, and I know that not only does it bless me, but it blesses those that are listening as well. And as we read the letters from all over America and even around in different countries, how CSN has blessed them and how it's done it, I begin to cry because I thought, God, it is amazing to me how you can take someone so ordinary or a group of us so ordinary and do something so extraordinary that literally it's people say that, well, our church is making a world. This one does. Somebody came up to me years ago and they said, do you realize you're the Walmart of Christian radio? I said, what? And he goes, yeah, you're everywhere, man. I go, I never thought of it like that, but that's kind of neat. You see, because there's so much lies out there. So many churches don't teach the Bible. They teach pieces of the Bible. And by teaching pieces of the Bible, you can come up with all kinds of crazy doctrine. Isaiah says line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how we're to study the Word of God. So not only do you understand line upon line, but the precept. If you're going to talk about salvation by faith, then look at all the verses that talk about salvation by faith. And you're always going to find Jesus because he's the author and finisher of it. If you're going to talk about what heaven is, look at all the verses about it. If you're going to look at what death is, you got to look at all the verses about it. This is why people get into these goofy ideas. Well, the Bible talks about soul sleep. No, it doesn't. It talks about this body that when it dies, as you drive by the cemetery out there, there's plots out there with decaying bodies in it. I know you've listened to some of the ads on TV. You won't rot in your plot when you see what we got. Well, let me tell you something. This body is going to go back to corruption. But we're going to get an immortal body someday that doesn't pass away. That's when the Bible talks about, and Stephen fell asleep. It's not talking about his soul. It's talking about his flesh. Because the rest of the Bible, and here's the precept, To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus prayed for Darius's daughter, who was dead. The mourners were there, and they showed up. You don't have to trouble the master. She's already dead. Jesus said, let's go. Him and Darius and his disciples go to the house. He prays for the little girl, and the Bible says her spirit returned to her. It does not say her spirit woke up in her. It says return to her. Very important. Old Testament, Elijah did the same thing for a little boy. His spirit returned to him. That's the precept. But you see, when you just hopscotch through the Bible, bendo scripture, well, that's a troubling thing because it'll lead you down. You believe wrong, you live wrong. Do you realize the way you live your life is based upon what you believe? That's why they work so hard in the schools and the colleges to make your children believe they evolved. So if it feels good, do it. There's no facts in the world. You're not necessarily a girl because you're a girl or a guy because you're a guy. It's bendo. Well, that's what the Bible says. That's why liberals, that's why the world hates the Word of God. You know why? Because the Bible says this is fact. This is truth. Well, today, truth is how you look at it. It's true if it's true to you. If you feel like Benjamin Franklin, then you're Benjamin Franklin. Well, there's real problems with that. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we have an established fact in who God is. So there are absolutes. There are the things of our past that haunt us, as we're reading about right here. You don't think these guys were wanting to crawl under the table as dad then goes down to each one of them and says, you know what? You're a snake. Gee, thanks, Dad. But Dad was right. Now he comes to Joseph. And he says, you're a fruitful bough. You're branches that hang over the wall. You're so generous that what you have, the shade, covers not only you, but even over the wall on the other side. You ever had a next door neighbor that had a fruit tree planted on the property line? And those branches that hang over the other side, even though it's their tree, you get to eat the apples off the tree because they're on your side of the fence. That's what it's talking about. So he says, they shot at him and they hated him, but his bow remained in strength. His arms and his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Remember, that's where your strength lies. It isn't in yourself. You can go to all the gyms as you want. You can build up muscles so big that when you do a jumping jack, it pops your head like a pimple. But that does not give you the strength you need to live each day. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, the God of your father who will help you, the Almighty who will bless you with blessings from heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the beast, the breast and the womb and the breast, the blessing of your father have excelled in the blessings of my ancestors. Up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of his head of him who will separate from his brothers. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey. At night he shall divide the spoil. All these, the 12 tribes of Israel, this is what their father spoke to them. He blessed them. It doesn't sound like a blessing sometimes, but it is. He blessed each one of them according to his own blessing. He charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for his burial place. There they buried Abraham, Sarah his wife, and they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. There I buried Leah, the field and the cave that is there were purchased from the sons of Heth. Now, you read this fast, you miss something. Remember, Jacob worked for Laban for 7 years for the hand of Rachel. Remember that? Wedding night, in the morning, he pulls back the veil, and it's the ugly duckling sister to Leah, and he goes, ah! And he's mad, and he goes down to Laban, and he said, what is this that you have deceived me? I worked for Rachel. You gave me the ugly duckling sister with weak eyes. That's what the Bible says. It says, you gave me the girl with weak eyes. He goes, it's customary in our country that the older daughter gets married first. If you want Rachel, you got to work another 7 years. Fulfill her week. I'll give you Rachel. I'll float her on credit for you for 7 years. That's what happened. And so he did. And we remember the whole story that ensued. But what is strange, he loved Rachel. Leah was the one he really didn't want. But it was through Leah, the unwanted one, that Judah was born. And it is interesting here that he is not buried with Rachel, where she was buried, but he wanted to be buried with who? Leah. Isn't it funny how time changed his thoughts and his mind about love? This morning, maybe you've struggled with a lot of things in your life. Maybe you might feel like some of these brothers, some of the things you've done, some of the things you wish you wouldn't have done. Maybe they haunt you, and maybe they bother you a little bit. Well, I got some great news for you. You need the Holy Spirit generator in you. That's what the Bible actually says. I'm going to send power to you from on high. The word for power there is the word dynamo, not dynamite that goes bang and it's over, but dynamo that generates. Like a car, you know how your battery doesn't run down in your car? It generates. You need that generator in you. It is not within any of us to live righteously. That's why the law is such a curse. That's why the law is so cruel. God says, this is the standard you need to live by. And we as humans go, but we can't live that way. Why is that? You're in a fallen body. That's why you have propensities and feelings for things you shouldn't have. Your brain says, this ain't good. And your body says, I don't care. Talk to an alcoholic. Talk to a drug person. Yeah, they'll say, oh, yeah, I know it's killing me. Give me more. What's wrong with you? Well, it's because we have a disconnect. We're in a fallen body. You need that Holy Spirit generator that says, hey, you don't need those things anymore. Now you're going to live for me. You need not a fifth of whiskey. You need an Ephesians fifth. Be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's what you need. And God then builds us back up. This morning, if you're not born again, if you've never asked Christ in your life, you're carrying the weight of your sin around. It's killing you. That's why people drink. They try to escape. Why does an elephant drink? It wants to forget. That's what our problem is. We'll keep ourselves preoccupied to try to forget the sins we can't erase. But God can, and that's what he does. That's why Jesus died on the cross for you this morning. If you've never prayed and asked Christ into your life, this is your day of change. This is where you can say, okay, Lord, I surrender. I don't want to be like Jacob's kids, where they come in and stand before him, and every one of them is cringing because dad knows everything about him. And he begins flagging the things that they did. You know, it's really interesting about Jacob in the Bible, or excuse me, Joseph. Him and Daniel are the only two in the Bible that the Bible never says anything negative that they did. That's kind of interesting. Isn't that a funny thing? You know, well, it's because, again, we need to be forgiven. And if you haven't been forgiven by God, you're carrying it. And you will do things to escape from those memories. You'll try to wash it off in your shower. You'll try to get stoned to forget about it. You'll just try to stay busy, 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 and never really deal with the issue. This morning, you can stop running, and you can ask God to forgive you, and then have that blessing of God in your life. That's what you need. So if you haven't prayed, let's pray right now, okay? Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. and simply this: forgive me. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. His blood covered my sins. And so now I want to be your child forever. Wash away that past. And so now may I live in your Spirit every day. Fill me now, God, with your Holy Spirit, that I'll be able to love you more and love a lost world and have boldness to tell people about you. And so now, God, I commit my life into your hands. Thank you for eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes Store, or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening, and tune in next time for It's Time.